The 6 o'clock WEAF News by Don Hollenbeck, veteran newsman and war reporter. This news program is presented by the makers of Planters Peanut Butter, who are making you a new big offer. They're offering you special flower seeds for your garden, all 1945 season seeds of florist quality. You can get $1.35 worth of these seeds for less than half that price. 6 packs of seeds give you colorful violas, pansies, poppies, snapdragons, column stalks, calendulas. To get these seeds, buy a jar of point-free Planters Peanut Butter. Then mail label with 25 cents, a quarter, to Planters Peanuts, care of this station. Now the latest news from Don Hollenbeck.
The offensive on the Western Front got into high gear today. The Canadian First Army took 14 towns in a gain of nearly 5 miles into Germany and drove to within 3.5 miles of Clavey, the northern anchor of the Siegfried Line, and to within 27 miles of the northwest corner of the Ruhr Valley. With more tanks and infantry going into the battle every hour, this front has now been widened to 10 miles in the elbow between the Rhine and Maas rivers, and dispatches from the front so far don't report very determined resistance. This is the hottest spot of the fighting, but all along the 350-mile front from the Alps to Holland, 7 Allied armies are moving ahead or preparing to do so, 5 of them already on German soil or on the border. The Canadian attack has carried well into the first belt of Siegfried Line defenses, and even in the Reichswald, where the opposition is toughest, the mop-up is going fast. The Reichswald is a dense forest just before Clavey. All day, the Germans have been predicting that the offensive on this front will be joined by the American 9th Army, still busy with artillery preparations for same. 85 miles south of the Canadian front, the American 1st Army's 78th Division got to within less than a mile of the big dam which controls the Ruhr River floodwaters, hoping to get to the dam before the Germans can flood the valley. Still farther south, General Patton's 3rd Army made its deepest penetration of Germany so far, 8 miles, and has now outflanked the fortress city of Prüm. In southern Alsace, all organized German resistance has now been wiped out, and the Allies now hold a secure 80-mile stretch of the Rhine's west bank from Switzerland to north of Strasbourg. General Patch's 7th Army is on the move also, took 3 towns southeast of Hagenau. 7 Allied armies all on the move or about to move, with more to come. And today, a story from the Western Front which seems to prove that the dog is here to stay. C-47 transports delivered 160 Eskimo Huskies, 25 dog team experts, and 2 dozen dog sleds to General Bradley's headquarters. They'll be used in delivering rations and ammunition and for moving wounded in case a heavy snow ties up other communications along the front. On the eastern front, the battle for Kistrin and Frankfurt guarding the way to Berlin is still on. No word as to its progress. The German high command announced that Konev's army has opened a powerful offensive against Breslau, already 2/3 encircled, with the jaws of Konev's pincers only 39 miles apart. The offensive was launched from both sides of the captured town of Steinau, and in a 12-mile advance from the Oder, one force reached the outskirts of Liegnitz, a junction of 13 roads and railways, one of them the Berlin-Breslau line over which German reinforcements have been moving. North of this, other forces of Konev's army bypassed Leuven and may have already cut the important line running from Liegnitz to Glogau. Tonight's Soviet communique does not report any of the fighting along the Oder, but does tell of the encirclement of Elbing in East Prussia and of Arnswalde in Pomerania, 40 miles southeast of Stettin. Now for the daily harvest of rumor and report from Berlin, perhaps a grain or two of fact among all the chaff. Himmler seems to have taken complete charge of things. He called today on the garrison at Schneidemühl to hold out for me, he said, personally. No mention of Hitler or Germany. The Gestapo have hanged the mayor of a little town between Stettin and Berlin, who left town without orders. Radio Paris says that many foreign slave workers are escaping in Berlin and are getting their own back by attacking Germans. One report says Hitler himself was in Berlin during the fortress attack last Saturday, cowering in the deepest shelter below the chancellery, which was hit several times. Maybe to ease the coming shock, the German radio reminded its listeners today that the Russians had once before occupied Berlin in the time of Frederick the Great. The Germans have quite a scheme for bucking up the morale of the trapped garrison at Budapest. The Luftwaffe is dropping phony newspapers and buckets of iron crosses to the boys. And on the culture side, some Japanese musicians still in Berlin will do a special broadcast for Japan tomorrow night to prove to the home folks that everything is okay in the West. On the Italian front, the Germans are attacking the newly won American position south of Bologna, and the RAF has just delivered a blistering attack on Verona, which is the crossroads for all important supply lines in northern Italy. In the air war on the western front, the Germans pulled a surprise today. Jet planes going 10 miles a minute broke through our fighter defenses for the first time, and they flew rings around the fortresses which were bombing targets at Lützkendorf, Weimar, and Magdeburg. Headquarters hasn't yet announced how successful the German attack was, but crews coming back said that fortress gunners were left simply dizzy by the jet attack. Our fighter cover accounted for 5 of these. News from the Pacific after a word from Jack Costello.
Here's that big new offer from Planters Peanut Butter. $1.35 worth of special florist quality flower seeds, yours for less than half that price. The seeds are all 1945 season, the kind that are grown for your florist. You know those big, showy blossoms you pay so much for at your flower shop. In 6 packs, you get such favorites as mixed Super Swiss Giant Pansies, extra large mixed Iceland Poppies, special mixed Violas, florist variety mixed Calendulas, mixed giant rust-resistant snapdragons, and special florist column stocks. Each viola produces dozens of flowers. The calendulas make a beautiful border, and pansies make a lovely little garden all by themselves. Think how beautiful your yard will be, and your cut flowers will be the envy of all your friends. Flower seeds that are all new for this season are reported to be scarce, so take advantage of this generous offer. For your special seeds, just buy a jar of point-free Planters Delicious Peanut Butter. Then mail the label with 25 cents, label and a quarter, to Planters Peanuts, care of station WEAF, New York. Allow about 10 days for post-pay delivery. Now back to Don Hollenbeck for the rest of the news.
And the news from China tonight is more optimistic than it has been for a long time. The Chinese High Command reports successful counterattacks against the Japanese in 3 provinces: Hunan, Jiangxi, and Kwantung. One place recaptured is Qihing, which controls a supply line to the Japanese who have been threatening the wolfram mines in Jiangxi province. A Chinese army spokesman today got very chipper. He said American troops could land on the China coast any time they want to, that China troops would be there to lend a hand, and he said if the Japanese couldn't defend Luzon, how in the world could they defend China with its far longer coastline? Forgetting, apparently, that the battle for Luzon is not yet over. Not even Manila is secure yet, although it's expected to be, in a few days. The Japanese now appear to be simply trying to destroy as much of the city as possible before they're pushed out. In Washington, too, they're counting some sweet stuff before it's in the bag. A government expert thinks that as much as 200 or 300,000 tons of sugar may be shipped from liberated areas of the Philippines to the United States this year. That's nearly a third of the annual tonnage before the war. Like thousands of other Americans, the Electronic Corporation and 2 CIO unions thought that General MacArthur should be congratulated on his return to Manila. So they sent him cablegrams to that effect, addressed General MacArthur, Manila, Philippine Islands. Western Union returned them to the senders, said you've got to have the soldier's APO and serial number, otherwise how can they find him? The Japanese continue to kid themselves without mercy. A Tokyo broadcast today said the Luzon campaign had gone exactly as General Yamashita had envisaged and superbly planned. The Americans have entered his trap, and it quoted him as saying with a broad smile, "The enemy is now in our bosom." Look out for a bite, General. The War Department announced today that the Japanese had moved 177 American prisoners of war to Manchuria, one of them General Jonathan Wainwright. The War Department said the transfer was made in November, possibly because of Japanese fear of an invasion of Formosa. It included 17 generals besides Wainwright, 119 colonels, 6 Navy captains, and 34 enlisted men. Next of kin of all these folks have been notified. And speaking of prisoners, some of those released on Luzon were catching up with world events today, specifically 15 members of the Marine Corps who had been captured at Bataan and Corregidor. Most of all, they wanted to know how the Marines had been doing in this war, and Sergeant John F. Slocum of Great Neck, a Marine combat correspondent, filled them in. He told them of Guam, Wake, Guadalcanal, Tulagi, and so on. They listened spellbound until Sergeant Slocum told them about the Women's Reserve branch of the Marine Corps. Dames and the Marines? Get out. They wouldn't believe it. But Sergeant Slocum convinced them, and finally they allowed as how times have changed, and they'd like to meet a lady Marine more than anything in the world. Our State Department again today took the attitude of a nice old gentleman mildly shocked at the world's wickedness. Tut-tut was about as far as it went. The tut-tutting was about the refusal of some of the neutral nations to say right out that they will refuse sanctuary to Axis war criminals now reported escaping from Germany in droves through and into some of these very neutral nations. Acting Secretary of State Grew said this government has no evidence that Germans are escaping to the Argentine through Spain or Portugal. Our representatives in those countries, he said, are on the alert. And then came the official tut-tut. This government, Grew said, is not satisfied with the attitude of some neutrals who have not given us unequivocal assurance that they would refuse admittance to Axis war criminals. Tut-tut. There was much more vigorous indignation elsewhere in Washington today. Senators Ellender and McKellar got into a row over the latter's charges that Aubrey Williams had run the National Youth Administration as a communist front. Williams is now up for confirmation as Rural Electrification Administrator, and Senator Barkley said today he believes he'll win confirmation by a close vote. In the House, there was name-calling over the attempts of Wallace haters in the Rules Committee to shell the George bill in a maneuver to force the Senate to vote directly on Wallace as Secretary of Commerce with full lending powers, which would beat him, of course. Also in the House, several members went arm-waving over the ban on conventions imposed by the Office of Defense Transportation to save fuel. Representative Rich of Pennsylvania says religious freedom is being interfered with because a regional Methodist conference has been forbidden. Representative Rankin, too. Seems the Masonic lodge he belongs to in Mississippi is affected. Representative James Fulton, Republican, is a freshman congressman from Pennsylvania and is therefore under the necessity of letting folks know he's around. So the other day he came up with a proposal that the wives and families of men in the forces be sent overseas to visit their men folks now and then, thus raising false hopes in many lonely hearts that the War Department would even consider such an obviously impractical scheme. But it did get some publicity for Representative James Fulton, and it gets some more today. The Associated Press aids and abets the cruel nonsense by doing an inquiring reporter stunt among a lot of fighting men's wives by asking them if they'd go if they had the chance. The spy trial on Governor's Island produced testimony today to the effect that the accused men had been sent here to get military information and had been given a list of persons to see in the USA, but that they left that list on the submarine which parked them on the coast of Maine, and they just couldn't remember the names. Also, Gimple, one of the suspects, provided the day's best example of understatement when he told how Coalpaw had left the apartment they took in Beekman Place, along with $40,000 in cash. That disappointed him, Gimple said. The weather forecast and the news summary after a word from Jack Costello.
This news program is presented by the makers of Planters Peanut Butter. Ladies, wait till you taste salad dressing made from Planters Hi-Hat Peanut Oil. You'll wish you'd tried it before. It's delicious and it only takes 2 points a pound. Hi-Hat Peanut Oil is grand for frying and baking, too. It's refined by the makers of Planters Peanuts. Before the weekend's over, send for the special flower seeds offered by Planters Peanut Butter. You get 6 packets, including such popular, colorful flowers as violas, pansies, snapdragons, calendulas, Iceland poppies, and column stocks. And here's how to get these 1945 season seeds. Just buy a jar of Planters point-free peanut butter. Then mail label with 25 cents, label and a quarter, to Planters Peanuts. Care of this station.
The weather woman sounded very friendly tonight. She said cloudy and mild, about 45 degrees tomorrow, Sunday fair. Just now, the temperature is 44 degrees. A summary of the day's top news. The Canadian First Army gained 5 miles in its offensive toward the Ruhr, and all Allied armies are on the move. No change in the battle before Berlin, but the Germans say the Russians have opened a new offensive against Breslau.
Don Hollenbeck brings you the day's news every weekday night at this time, presented Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays by Planters Peanuts.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.